Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the time allocated to me. I will try to be as quick as possible. But before I can make my presentation, let me acknowledge my colleagues with whom I'm here. I've got Ms. Mary Mononela, who is responsible for transformation and gender mainstreaming in the department. And I also have Mr. Zweli Silangwe, who is the director responsible for stakeholder relations, and Ms. Katleho Toubata, who is the assistant director in that division, stakeholder relations. Chair, as an input of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, the input will be based on progress with regard to the implementation of resolutions of the Vulnerable Workers Summit on farms and in forestry and fisheries. Honorable Chair, a national summit on vulnerable workers on farms and in forestry and fisheries took place on the 30th to the 31st July 2010. It was held here in the Western Cape at Somerset West at Lord Charles Hotel. The summit was attended by more than 2,000 participants. About 1,500 of the participants were vulnerable workers themselves, farm workers. And we also had representatives of farmers and labor unions attending the summit. The keynote speaker, Honorable Chair, at the summit was His Excellency the President of the Republic, Mr. Jacob Zuma. It is also very important, Chair, if I may go back, it is also very important that to note that pardon. I must move faster. Okay. It is also, let me quickly then go to the objectives of the summit for everybody to come in, to take note of. The objectives, Chair, were to communicate a very strong message that government is committed to the prioritization of the interest of the poorest of the poor, and to send out an unambiguous message to all vulnerable workers that government is indeed committed to their cause, to develop a common program with their participation, a program which includes their inputs with clear goals, clear tasks, and a common program for monitoring and evaluation. To give voice to the vulnerable workers themselves to tell government what it has done and has not done for them since the advent of democracy in 1994, to strengthen the belief that there's only one future for agriculture, forestry and fisheries, and that is an inclusive rural economy which benefits everybody. To ensure that vulnerable workers enjoy their basic rights and freedoms as guaranteed by the Constitution and labor legislation. The expected outcomes of this event, Chair, was to adopt a clear resolutions on government programs targeting vulnerable workers. We were hoping to emerge with resolutions that would then be articulated into programs to address the plight of this category of society. The adopted resolutions would address the plight of vulnerable workers along the five main areas. The first area would focus on social services, focusing on adequate housing, provision of farms, schools, mobile clinics, and HIV/AIDS programs. The second focus area would be the working conditions of vulnerable workers, with focus on access to organizing and unionization, determination of working hours, and job security. The third, Chair, which links very, very closely to the focus of discussions of this forum, security of tenure, looking at issues of illegal immigrants, racism and abuse, access to land for own needs and by owners. And the fourth, empowerment and training, focusing on vulnerable workers, employee schemes and training beyond farm labor life. And we're also hoping to emerge with cross-cutting matters, which include hotline for problems and the establishment of a database for all farms in the country. As an outcome, Chair, the resolutions of the summit were arrived at, and these resolutions, we do have them as a department in a report which was compiled after the summit. And the report, of course, was circulated among the stakeholders who attended the summit. These resolutions can be obtained from that website, address of the Department of Agriculture, if you want to look at, because these resolutions focus on those four areas: social determinants for health for vulnerable workers, working conditions, empowerment and training, and security of tenure. But you can access them on that particular address. Now, the essence of this presentation, Chair, is to indicate what has happened ever since, the little progress that we have achieved, but moving in the right direction in that regard. There was a steering committee, Chair, which was organizing the summit. One of the resolutions from the summit was that that steering committee should be converted into what is called a delivery forum. Such a structure would be responsible for overseeing the implementations of the resolutions. And such a structure, Chair, has been established. The department was also to develop terms of reference for these structures, to give it a muscle in terms of making sure that it oversees the creation and coordination of structures that will oversee the implementation of the resolutions at national, provincial, and local government level. And those terms of reference have also been developed, and they have also been adopted as working document at this particular time. DAF is also expected to spearhead a policy framework for the establishment of vulnerable worker support and development units. The idea that flowed from the summit was that at national level, we have to create structures in government departments, at provincial level, also at local level. There have to be structures established which are dedicated at addressing the challenges facing vulnerable workers. But also, as flowing from the summit, Chair, it was agreed that once the summit is over and once we have the resolutions flowing from the summit, there must be post-summit post-vulnerable worker summits at local, provincial, and national level. In other words, the intention of this post-vulnerable worker summit is to commit stakeholders to formulate programs of action and to develop delivery agreements as to how the stakeholders will collaborate and commit resources to change the plight of vulnerable workers. As I said, Chair, in terms of the steering committee, we now do have this steering committee, and it is very important to indicate that within the steering committee, we have those organizations represented: provincial departments of agriculture, we also have the Department of Labor, the Department of Health, Rural Development and Land Reform, Agri-SA, TAU, FAO, SANGOKO, all these organizations have nominated members to serve in this delivery forum. And well, of course, there are those departments that we are still awaiting nominations from, Department of Basic Education and Social Development. We have also succeeded, Chair, in making sure that this delivery forum is founded on a very solid foundation, where terms of reference for its operations and functioning have been developed and have been adopted. In terms of the policy framework, the Department of Agriculture in the Western Cape is currently helping us. I don't know if members here are aware that the Provincial Department of Agriculture in the Western Cape is the only department which has a dedicated unit which is looking after the interests of vulnerable workers, farm workers. And we have engaged that department to assist us to develop a policy framework which will help us in terms of establishing these units throughout the country. I just felt that, Chair, I've got to indicate the list of nominees to serve in the delivery forum. These are organizations that are represented in this delivery forum, and those are the names of people that are sitting in this structure. The delivery forum is meeting on a quarterly basis, and its main mandate is to ensure that the resolutions which were arrived at during the summit get implemented at the end of the day. Those are the departments, all the provincial departments, those organizations are members of this forum. But over and above, Chair, the latest thing that has happened is the fact that we have gone to an extent of dividing, of establishing task teams out of this delivery forum. These task teams have been established in line with the four major focus areas. One task team is focusing on social determinants of health for vulnerable workers. Even though we do have members for this task team, every now and then when it does its work, it can augment, it can call on experts that are not necessarily part of the team to come to address certain matters. We have got a task team on working conditions, we have got a task team on security of tenure, and we have got a task team on empowerment and training. And I would like to say this, Chair, that before I came here, because I was mandated to come and make this presentation, there was a request to say we currently have the participation of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, but this area, this task team on security of tenure, we would really call on the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to participate centrally in terms of making sure that all the targets for this task team are achieved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is always good to present during the graveyard shift, and it also forces me to just briefly highlight a few points. I know we have been all here during the day. I think for us the starting point would be that farm workers and farm dwellers are the rightful owners of the land and have a right to live and work on the land, but most importantly also to own the land. And for us, that should be the starting point in which we have to phrase the issue of land and tenure rights for farm workers. We move from the basis that agrarian reform is a basic human right, which should form the cornerstone for transforming rural relations and the rural economy and broader societal change. Now, we think we have to begin to phrase this question of rights and tenure security, but it cannot be located outside of the economic framework in which we exist and which farm workers and dwellers exist, and this for us is the fundamental point. And we think that most of the problems, besides the legislative framework, but it's also in a system in which the rural economy is structured and who owns it and who controls it, that determines the types of rights that people are having. Now scholars remind us, one of that is saying that the legitimacy of the state franchise and other civil and political rights enshrined in the Constitution exist alongside the continual and extreme inequality, and land is mere one of the indices of inequality. And I think until we address the land inequality in our country, we will continue to exist with this problem, and we'll continue to discuss how can we improve the rights and tenure security of farm dwellers, because this is at the heart of the matter, the unequal land ownership patterns in our country. And we further feel that the legislative environment then presents an opportunity to entrench that type of inequality in our society, which is basically premised on the dispossession of people in this country and the power of agrarian capital and their organizations in society. And for us, that is a starting point which we have to move on. But we feel that the way in which things are is more systemic problems that farm dwellers and farm workers are faced with. And we feel it's important just to shift a bit from the case study approach and to see what is commercial agriculture and what is the framework in which farm dwellers and workers exist and operate in. And for us, there's a lot of changes that has happened in the agricultural sector and the shift that has happened. And a lot of it has been precipitated by the restructuring that has happened post-1994. And we feel that, and this is the relationship between what we feel of rural development and land reform, agriculture and fisheries. Now, on the one hand, you implement land reform to address the imbalances of the past, but on the other hand, you have agricultural policies that, in our view, undermines land reform because it does not then begin to address how do we restructure agriculture. And a lot of the failures that we then begin to see is because these two policies or these two frameworks do not speak to each other, because I think they're in direct conflict. And which is for us the critically important point, that we have to recognize the restructuring that has happened in agriculture over the past years. And for us the question is, what is the main features of commercial agriculture? And our conclusion, we say it is production for the markets, especially global markets. It is entire objective is maximizing profit on invested capital and the use of employment of wage labor. So the profit motive in commercial agriculture is the central feature that drives that sector. All other issues of rights and tenure is subordinate to the profit motive. And this is an important point that we have to understand, because we have basically land reform and change without democratization of the countryside. So as some scholars have said, you have citizens in a rural location, and then you have subjects of farm dwellers and workers which operate within the political system of voting and participating in a communal area. But when it comes to accessing of resources and other municipal services, they are not allowed to access that thing. So it's a different system of rule that exists within that framework that we have to see how we can address these particular problems. And for us, the important feature that is happening in commercial agriculture is that there's been a consolidation in land concentration, because we have moved over the past 15 years from 120,000 farming units to approximately today 35,000 farming units, which indicates the level of concentration that is happening. So fewer owners are concentrating more land in their hands, and at the same time also shifting the whole structure of labor and how the system is operating. I think the person from Tao summed it nicely up, that they have to clean up. But the cleaning up is not just because people are brutal and bad. Surely they are that, but it's also dictated by an economic logic that puts profit before people. And this is the system of agriculture that we need to understand, and this is what we need to change. I won't repeat about labor shedding that has been said, and I think the chairperson also appreciate that. But the other point that we have to make is that with regard to labor and the profitability of farms, we find that farming for profit is leaving more people food insecure and depressing the living standards of a section of the rural poor. And because commercial farming has become profitable for a small number of agribusinesses, and the data of the census indicates that. And that the rate of exploitation of labor has intensified, and that is allowing a lot of commercial agriculture to make higher profits on the back of a small number of casual workers. And one of it is Professor Fink at the University of Stellenbosch. He makes the important point that although seemingly wages have increased, but the unit cost of labor has declined on farms over time. From 16 cents was spent on labor for every 1 rand of output. In 2002, in one, it was about 11 cents. So one can see the extent of change that is happening there. And it is in this way that we say human rights violation, oppression and exploitation of farm dwellers is both a combination of the oppression by farm owners, but also the weak policy and legislative framework, but also the changing nature of the agrarian structure. And for us, the key point that the leadership has to address, and Parliament and the members of this committee, is that land rights and agrarian reform is central to the realization of human rights. And in essence, farm dwellers and farm workers, in our view, has been dislocated from land reform for the past 10 years. It has been restricted to a narrow focus of equity schemes, which we welcome the view that has been moratorium has been placed on it, because it was just disastrous. Outside of that, we are not discussing how to transfer land to agricultural workers and dwellers to engage in productive use of land, and that is an important thing. But again, just to emphasize that the condition of farm workers and dwellers needs to be located in land inequality, and we can't overemphasize this point. And we get the feeling that in most cases that there's a tacit siding with white agrarian capital to the detriment of other sectors of society. And here we want to also then question the notion is this notion of 30% of land not an arbitrary notion to distribute only 30%? And where have that notion come from. And we have to re-examine the fundamental basis of this country, because after 17 years, we haven't made headway. And you feel as if you are discussing now a situation that we are legitimizing dispossession in many ways. And the issues of displacement, it has been documented, and I won't want to go into this. But for us, although we are told that we have the most progressive constitution in the world that can drive transformation, in our view, it is constrained by the one fundamental fact, which is the property clause. And we have to re-examine its fundamental basis. Although people say, yes, the constitution allows for expropriation with compensation and all the different guides, but we still think the protection of private property therefore, in a sense, legitimizes the dispossession of people and farm dwellers and farm workers in particular. And we think that for us is the fundamental point that we have to discuss beyond all the other things to address the myriad of problems that we are faced with in this country. Because if we fail to address it, we then give credence to the illegitimate ownership of white ownership of this country. And we're saying that dispossession was a good and legal process. And after 17 years, I don't think we can begin to make that argument. Now, the argument people say that we would be, we need to maintain production discipline and be the food providers of this country. But if you look at the figures, there are a lot of people in rural areas in commercial farming districts that are food insecure. And many people, and the data is there that people are conducting studies about the status of food security in South Africa. So the question is commercial farming in its current form providing in the food security needs of this country? And should we begin to look at an alternative model where we begin to transfer land to farm workers, farm dwellers, and the landless in general, so that they can engage in production to provide for the people that are food insecure in this country? Because it's not just about the inability to purchase food, it's also about producing. Because commercial farming is its primary route of producing food is for the export market. I will basically conclude in 2 minutes, but just, I know you haven't asked us to talk about it, but once you consider new parts of legislation, it is important also to, in a sense, dislocate. The state needs to take a bold step and be political bold to take a mere step away from the control that white organized agriculture and agrarian capital has in influencing policy. And in 2005, we had a land summit where people articulated their needs to say, this is what they want. And I just, in 1 second, I want to give you an example. The rest of people at the summit said, government must proactively acquire land, use expropriation for the creation of sustainable settlements for people living on farm, and give recognition to their rights within commercial farms. AgriSA said, AgriSA is in favor of off-farm rather than on-farm solution, and expropriation should be the measure of last resort. Now, in our view, we say, this is how that viewpoint then becomes the dominant view. In the new bill, which you have kindly asked us not to discuss, it says that the bill proposes agri-villages and land development assistance. In our view, it is again where white agrarian capital becomes the dominant force in shaping policy and not what the masses of the people are saying. I thank you for the opportunity to present our views, however, in a very hurried way. Thank you.
You said yourself that this is a graveyard session, and in a graveyard session, people have no attention span that is long. At this point, we want to hurry and finish the presentation so that we can debate the way forward. Can I get a representative of the right to agrarian reform and food sovereignty? Mm-hmm. remember what the co-chair said about the hat in the house.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I am a yes. I have two sections to present. One section is maybe 7 minutes of the DVD, and the other section is the presentation. I am Peter Strunk. I am from a Farm Workers Forum in Pietersdal. I am representing the Right to Agrarian Reform for Food Sovereignty campaign. This campaign consists of farm workers and farm dwellers, small-scale farmers, and landless people in the Western Cape, Northern Cape, and fractionally also in the Eastern Cape. This campaign focuses on the development and assistance of the above-mentioned previously disadvantaged group in the vulnerable sector, organizing and mobilizing to accelerate agrarian transformation and land redistribution, and also agroecological production. Today, after 17 years of democratic South Africa, farm workers are still treated as people who don't belong in South Africa. Chairperson, I don't know if a person like me would say, you know, I'm working with farm workers, working with farm dwellers on a daily basis for years. I've been grown up on a farm. I have been assaulted by white commercial farmers. My back has been injured because I was working as a child till the age of 12 years. Then I was allowed in the apartheid system to go to school. So after 17 years, I still wonder if this South Africa is a democratic South Africa. And to see Chairperson, after 17 years of fighting the democracy, there is still no democracy. According to me, very limited things have changed in this country. So, as a member of the Agrarian Reform for Food Sovereignty campaign, I am decided to have a very radical approach towards changes. Because I'm really, Chairperson and members, I'm sick and tired of having meetings, coming to this parliament, having summits, and nothing happening. You know, there was a day, in terms of the temperature, that they showed a map on TV that the Cape was red, completely red, and the farm workers were still working on the land. While in other sectors, people are switching on their air conditioners, driving with motor cars, but the farm workers working on the land. So, to me, it's really not an honor every time to have meetings and so little things change on farms. But we have to fight. We have to fight on a continuous basis. And I still believe that we will change and that we will change the conditions of farm workers. And I am greatly honored then in this respect to talk to the people who are in a position to assist us in changing the harsh conditions in which farm workers live and in which they stay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on many farms in South Africa, especially in the West Coast, farm dwellers and landless people are still evicted, dismissed and assaulted, even evicted without a court order. There are many farm owners who believe that farms are theirs and they can do whatever they like to do on their farm. A good example is a farm in Middelbos, where 15 years and younger children are still
working on the farms and not allowed to go to town to on a weekend. The DOP stencil is still applicable on the farm. We have reported to the Department of Labor, and we are hoping that they are going to respond soon. Because that farm owners even threatening to sue if we come and organize on their farm. The Department of Labor, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, South African Police Service and other state departments failed to implement and to protect the rights of the farm workers and the farm dwellers. It is mainly because of the imbalances of power, greediness of farm owners, inequalities and the corrupt relationship of some state officials when they visited commercial farms. We have cases that labor inspectors first go to the employer and never talk to the employer and never consider to talk also to the farm workers. And then the labor inspector make a decision what should we do. And that is the totally a wrong approach according to us. And they are always saying that we are generalizing, but the issues are real. I don't know what we should do to explain to the state whatever we can do or whatever impact this session today will have to really prove to the state that the conditions of farm workers and farm dwellers are very hard and very bad. Also, the current chemical industrial method of farming has a very negative impact on the health of farm workers and also on nature. We believe that food security is not enough, and we propose alternative methods of farming, which is food sovereignty. The dominant model of farming exploits and abuses farm workers and returns for maximum profits to capitalist society. Insecurities done because they use pest control for tractors. Many people have skin diseases, all kinds of skin diseases, but we don't know where it comes from. We have introduced also a union to help us to organize on farm workers, but still, it is very difficult. Because all of these kinds of skin diseases might come from the deadly poison that people using doing pest control in the citrus farming without good protection. Class differentiation in the context of migrant labor systems is also problematic in South Africa because capitalists develop yet deliberate creation of labor reserves in countryside, alongside appropriation of large areas of productive land for emerging white capitalist farming class, constraining the emergence of an African peasantry. We know that people come from different places, Somalia, Mozambique, and you can call it Zimbabwe, to work in South Africa. That is a good idea. But we also know the Department of Labor, where the current inspectors what we have, is not helping us to protect these people. So I was wondering, how can the state help us to be more effective as civil society, NGOs, people working on farms, to protect these people who come from different countries to work in South Africa? If a person comes from Somalia and he works in South Africa, he really doesn't know, and there's not enough structures that he should know where to go. Sometimes the boys are telling, this is my farm, and you don't tell me on the farm what to do. If you don't want to work for me, you fuck off. And that's the real word what they use. Now, you can explain if a person comes from very far, he don't know how to go back. But sometimes people don't even have money to go back. But they are... The farmers use these types of words on them. And also very important, person, is the minimum wage. This is now, I think, 317 rand. It is impossible that farm workers can look after themselves, after their families, and after their children with 317 rand a week. It means that the circle of poverty will remain on farms because children cannot go to universities, they cannot go to technicians to further educate themselves because there is not enough money. There is not even enough money to buy food for their proper housing purposes. The extension of security of tenure act regulates eviction and only explains the process how farm owners can get rid of farm dwellers that they don't want on the farms. The shared equity schemes are a failure on farms, and farm owners are still using these schemes to contribute to their exploitation of farm workers and farm dwellers. But what we also are saying is that we can't underestimate the imbalances of power on farms, because currently South Africa is the most unequal country in the world. We believe that the property clause contributes to those inequalities. In our opinion, the farm workers and the farm dwellers should be owners of their houses on farms and land, and because the Freedom Charter states that the land belongs to those who work on it. Chairperson, the fact that our constitution still has the property clause means that it is very difficult to organize on farms. Even unions find it difficult to organize on farms because sometimes you end up or you find that gates are closed and you don't have entrance to the farms. On some farms, even people who work on the farm find it difficult to have entrance to the farm. If the farm owner decides that he closes his farm every night at 8 o'clock, meaning then after 8 you won't have access to your own home at farm. So, with this constitution, chairperson, with a property clause still in it, we as civil organizations, NGOs, won't, even unions, won't be able to organize farm workers. So, we want that property clause to be out of that constitution. In conclusion, chairperson, we need to honor those who sacrifice their lives and families for freedom, social justice, and equal rights. And the only way how we can prove that we honor them will be if we nullify the property clause in the constitution. Since there is a reluctance from the state to use expropriation, the limited funding for the enforcement and implementation of the acts and the protection of the minority groups of interest of the country, we will not taste the freedom, justice and equal rights which so many people have suffered and died for. It is an injustice that land which was stolen from us still belongs to white commercial farmers. And I think that we should not debate that. This land belongs to the people. And this land was stolen from us. Chairperson, this stolen land, which has created apartheid so much wealth only to one side, a minority group, has to be taken back. And if the state does not assisting in changing of nullifying the property clause, we will keep on organizing the people and mobilizing the people. But we will fight till we do not have 30% of the land, because 30%, I don't know where it comes from. We need 70% or 100% of the land, because the land South Africa belongs to us. Thank you. You want the DVD? We are selling the DVD, ladies and gentlemen. for the organization. So, Chairperson, we would like that if maybe you can sell, buy a DVD.
We thought that all the stakeholders here needed some guidance from COSATU.
Okay.
And they said they will send somebody. But because you are an affiliate, so
yeah.
The same guidance will come
same,
from.
Same applies.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I bring you greetings from the members of FAO, especially the farm workers, the people in the rural areas, as well as our National Executive Committee. Chairperson, I've been requested by the same mandate, the Executive Committee and the NOBs, to represent FAO here this afternoon. And my brief is actually very brief, but we want to go to the crux. We want to ask you to be the champions of farm workers, Chairperson. And the previous two speakers, they have FAO's concurrence on many of the issues that they have highlighted here. The issue of, first and foremost, we want to speak to the Farm Worker Summit or the Summit on Vulnerable Workers, if you like, that was held last year in Somerset West, which was very successful, albeit the other side or Agri-SA that they walked out. There were very, very strong resolutions taken at that summit, and we want this committee, as well as the ministries involved, to realize those resolutions to benefit farm workers. And more specifically, we see that we as a nation that's being fed from the land that was referred to earlier, and we concur on how that land changed hands, we want to say that the people that are serving and working on that land, they're serving, they're feeding the nation, but they are the most vulnerable, they are the most destitute people, they are the most the people that need the assistance most from government, and government must come to their aid. First and foremost, you can't, if you look at how any person that wants to prosper in life, he needs to have a base to work from. Your base is always your home, your security. So we're saying that government should first look at their security. Their security is where they find themselves, where they sleep, where they move from and where they move to. So we're saying that the security must be given in terms of rights to stay on the farm. It was mentioned earlier by the previous speaker that ESTA is just a move or a way to move people. It's a process. He couldn't have been more right, or he couldn't have been more correct in how he explained it. And our government need to take cognizance of the fact that you don't, at times where people are destitute, we don't need procedures, we need action. We need concrete steps to stop anything that there are anti-transformation in our society. So we're saying that land should be made available. Land should be given to farm workers or farm worker groupings to ensure that there are safety and security, and that their children have the right to register even those rights against their names. We're looking in, I take note also that you don't want us to go into the legislation, but it is interrelated. The submissions that we make in terms of conditions of employment, it is interrelated to what we would want to see out of the new legislation. Now, if you look at the definitions even in the new amendments in terms of the new act on tenure, you see that they're referring to chairperson, the issue of land. What is the definition of land? We need to look at the definition of land, because there's no mention being made what is agricultural land, but there's a definition on what is commercial farming land. So if land is laying dormant, but it can be used for agricultural land, then that land is excluded. So we need to look at those. Those are issues that we say that you need to champion on behalf of farm workers. Coming to the conditions of employment, we find that in most instances, if not in all, the tenure, like if you haven't received tenure in terms of what ESTA guarantees you, like if you're over the age of 60 or 65, or if you've worked more than 10 years, then you receive tenure. What we're saying is that in most of the instances, your tenure security is linked to the conditions of employment. Now, this farmer or farm worker, he may be a second or third generation person on that land, but when one day something happens, be it his fault or not his fault, then he can no longer stand. If I was to dismiss me today, hope not, then I don't lose my house. I have a guarantee that I will stay in my house, and that I need to see the relevant people that will allow me to stay in that house. Here, there's an arbitrary decision being made if you no longer stay, and the first, if you no longer work for the employer, then you don't have security. That is backwards, chairperson. I think in a society with a constitution like ours, I think that is backwards. We make the farmer the judge and the jury, because it's his farm, it's his employment conditions, and he decides whom and when a person no longer. It can be, chairperson, it can be that the law allows him to subject his employees to fair labor practices. But we're saying that even so, chairperson, if any one of us are dismissed or voted out or of office or whatever the case may be, chairperson, and we should leave our employee, we don't lose our houses. That's a different process. So we're saying that that should be two different processes. The issue of farm worker conditions, chairperson, FAO are one of those unions that don't want to criticize unnecessary and shoot off the cuff. They are good farmers. They are also rogues, chairperson. And we want you to champion farm workers' rights against the rogues that are there. And we need to look, we want to challenge the portfolio committee members of this setting to look at how we can name and shame farm workers. We name and shame people that abuse the children and the spouses. We name and shame people that they drive drunk, but we can't name and shame people that ill-treat the people that feed the nation. It's always also backwards in terms of where we find ourselves with such a one of the best constitutions in the country, rather, chairperson. So we're saying that this government of ours, they need to look at who the land belongs to, and they need to look at each and every commercial farmer, be it big and small, and then work with NGOs, work with trade unions, because this is a very fragmented society. Both speakers were speaking about the property clause. It's very difficult to enter the premises of farmers because it's so vast, because of the dynamics, etc., etc. So we're saying that governments should champion to champion the rights of farm workers and advance the rights of farm workers, and working with NGOs, working with trade unions, even working with the same farmers that walked out at the summit. Together we can identify the problems, but the problems must be identified in the interest of farm workers, chairperson. For me to show to my children when I drive in Paarl, Wellington, or wherever, chairperson, and show them that is farm workers' houses, it's a bad reflection on me as a father that don't tell my kids, don't mess your food at night. Because it shows them that how we regard the food that we waste in households is how we regard our farm workers. And it's not emotion, an emotional type of speech that we're making, but it is emotive issues, because we cannot, there's a saying that a nation are judged in how they treat the elderly and the prisoners. We should be judged in how we treat our farm workers first, chairperson, because they are free. 2 minutes. Chairperson, with that words, we're saying that we challenge you, chairperson, and I think we have the right to challenge you to become the champions of farm workers in this country. Farm workers, long overdue, are waiting on what is going to come their way in their lifetimes. And there will be another generation of farm workers. And by the time that comes, chairperson, we're not looking at share owner schemes and those type of things, but that generation of farm workers, they must own the land. And as all of us sit here, irrespective of what culture, creed, or color we are, we all, each and every person, come from the farm. If it's not directly, it's indirectly through our forefathers, chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable members, here are the last presentations that have been made in front of us. SPP, which stands for Surplus People's Project, the right to agrarian reform and food sovereignty, and then FAO. I await your hands. I'm awaiting energetic hands. Yes. Only 3 hands. 4. I'm inviting more. I do not expect people to hear what other people are asking, then they raise their hands. I want them to have an original idea written down. I do not want preambles and the middle of the speech. I want a question or a comment. Simple. Ms. Ngwenya Mabila, followed by Ms. Palisa, followed by Ms. Stain, followed by Comrade Nyalungu, and then Woma Brown.
Thank you, Chairperson.
We have erred in favor of being kind. The gentleman from agriculture who presented the outcomes of the Vulnerable Workers Conference workshop results has asked, because he's going to Bloemfontein, he says there's only one plane to Bloemfontein. So he asked to be released. I released him because I want him to attend the meeting tomorrow. He told me what meeting he's attending. So the comrades from FAO will help answer questions emanating from that conference. They were there. Go ahead, Ms. Ngwenya Mabila.
Chairperson, I was hoping that the president was giving us a report on behalf of the Department of Agriculture is here. Because there's something that puzzled me, Chair, that always are being referred to the files, to the website. I don't know what is the problem. Because the departments have got resources, they can make copies, circulate the copies. But when making presentation, we just refer us to the website. We don't have time to go to the website. I think we have time to go through these documents that they are referring us to. But we need the copy because we're not going to go to the website. Because each and every time when we need information, they will come here with just a paragraph, then say, go to the website. What is that? So I think we need not to allow that to happen. Then the other one, Chair, it's unfortunate that the gentleman is not here, because I wanted to check the issue of the resolutions that were taken in that particular conference. to what extent has those resolutions been implemented? Because really, this issue of calling summits, conferences, whatever, but the implementation of the resolutions taken in those particular summits being just kept into files, it doesn't assist us. I understand that there's a delivery forum that has been established, but if the summit has taken place last year, I think we're supposed to be briefed about the progress with regards to the implementation of those resolutions that were taken in that particular summit. I don't know whether they are in the website again. The Department of Labor chairperson was supposed to be part of this meeting because they were supposed to tell us to what extent are they assisting the farm workers and farm dwellers, because really there are allegations, even in my constituency, that when cases are reported, they go to the farm, they talk to the owner, they neglect the person who reported the case. Then from there, they get a cup of tea, a box of banana, they just leave. So, which creates a problem, because really the trust of these farm workers and farm dwellers is relying on government to intervene if there are problems and assist. But if they don't assist those people, I think we've got a major challenge that we need to address. Thank you, Chairperson. I think those are the comments that we wanted to make. Thank you, Chairperson. I won't waste any time. My questions was going to be direct to the person of Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. For now, I will rest my case. I can't expect FAO to answer my concerns or my questions in the place of the Department of Agriculture, because we know the challenges of implementation in our department. So I won't elaborate. My questions are here on this paper, and you remember has covered me completely.
Thank you, Chairperson. Luckily, I don't have a question to the Department of Agriculture. I actually want to ask all three, the gentlemen that presented. No, I'm not going to ask the preamble. The committee know me. I want the three gentlemen to tell me that don't want me in South Africa. Because that's basically what you said. That's how I understood it. I want to tell you I'm a farmer. My family has been here for 300 years. My two sons is going to farm. And if you tell me that's not what you want, because this is how I understood it, then we must know it, and we must debate it from there on. Because if we debate policy, and that is how farm workers tell us, I'm a white farmer, and you have all three said you don't want it, you want the land to go back. Ek is 'n Afrikaner boer. Ek is 'n Afrikaanse Afrikaner boer. Yes. So, Chairperson, and that is the difficulty. We debate things. Now we're in another debate. And I looked at my friend and colleague here in the back, because I told him he wasn't also here 400 years ago. And we had that debate in our portfolio long ago. So, no, I know that's not the debate, but it came up.
Chairperson, call me to order if I'm out of order.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say that...
Point of order, Chair. Chair, my point of order is that although Mrs. Stein is a farmer, but you're not here representing farmers, it's here as a member of parliament. So, according to my understanding, she must not respond on behalf of the farmers, because here is a member of this committee. She must just take note of what people are saying, then she will discuss that with the farmers when they meet on the other side, that here is the concerns that were raised. Because others were positive, others were negative, then she must report to the farmers, but she's here as a member of parliament, not as a farmer, so she must not interfere.
Yes, thank you, Trino. I do that. I just wanted to know that if there is really that concern coming out of farm workers, if the three gentlemen that represented farm workers, if that is the genuine feeling on the land. That's my question to them. Do they represent a genuine all farm workers? Or is that their personal feeling? I'm not trying to make this my personal issue. I'm also saying it could be easily perceived then. So my question is that what farm workers are generally telling them? They want the land. Okay. Now, end of the story. Okay.
Solomon.
No, Chairperson, I was just being faced by a bit of order. One fundy presenter said that by a mwe gestel, na di alle boere is sleg.
Thank you, Chair. My colleagues have already said what I was supposed to say, especially on the Department of Agriculture. So anyway, I'll ask this question to the SPP. I want to know, after that land summit, is there any sign of change from that resolution that they have made? Or I just want to ask that question. Is there any change from the bad results that they have made? Thank you.
A small detail, Ms. Nelly. There was a land summit in 2005. And then there was this Somerset West Vulnerable Workers Conference. Which one are you referring to?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have listened attentively to the concerns that have been raised. It is so that farm workers are a very vulnerable species. It is so. It is so that a lot needs to be done to improve the lot of farm workers. But there are a couple of questions that I have here, Chair. From my friend seated here at the back, he said that, you know, the people are farming for profit. Now, Chairperson, if somebody invests money, and that includes some of our people who have got into farming now lately, are we expecting them to farm, put in input costs, and not to expect a profit? Last week we did some oversight. If those people that now own the farms, who happen to be of a dark skin color, if they don't make a profit, I would like to know how are they going to survive. Or is my friend here at the back merely talking of subsistence farming? That people must have a little piece of land and they must merely be able to subsist. In that way, sir, we will not be making any contribution towards employing anybody. We will not be making any contribution towards taxes, earning of foreign exchange, etc., etc. Then, Chairperson, the whole issue of championing the farm workers' rights against rogue farmers. Now, Chairperson, I would like to inform my friends that where there's any abuse or where there's any problem which farm workers are faced with, we have at the local level wall-to-wall municipalities. There is a municipal councillor involved in serving people at that level. We have provincial parliaments and MPLs. And we have members of parliament and members of the NCOP at the national level. These three tiers of representatives, public representatives, are to my mind available to the people at all times in order to take up issues, because we know that people, our people, especially farm workers, do not know where to go to. But what we need to publicize as organizations representing farm workers that you have these three tiers, and that there are offices, perhaps not located in every town in the country, but there are offices where members of parliament have an administrator who, in the absence of the member of parliament there, is able to take up any problem that confronts those workers. And I think my friends there from rural development will know I'm one of those that gives them a lot of headaches. Because whenever I have a problem from people, I take it up and I want answers from them. They know it very well. So, Chairperson, we must not create the impression amongst our people that they have nowhere to go. We are there. We are there to take up their issues and their problems if there's any problem that confronts them. Finally, Chairperson, we have many land reform schemes where farm workers were involved, where the farm workers received the farm, whether it was through LRED or other forms of land reform, that happened. And in a significant number of those instances, those farms unfortunately collapsed for a variety of reasons. And we always need to bear in mind, Chairperson, that I can have ideals, but I must match my ideal with practicality. Because when you want land in order to farm, it goes with a hell of a lot of other responsibilities. With that land, Chairperson, you need the tools to be able to farm. You can give me a piece of land without the tools, I can do nothing. So that's my question, Chair.
I recognize that you have been absent the whole day. So you are covering up for your absence.
I was looking after the inmates in the prison, Chair, this morning. I had to be at that committee.
Trouble of wearing too many hats. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, we have got questions that have been raised. I think we'll give this opportunity first to the Surplus People's Project.
I think, Chairperson, thank you. I think the point we are making, and I'm speaking to the Honorable Member, at no point I suggested that we must chase whites into the sea. I am saying, but we must recognize, are we then saying that whites should maintain land ownership? All we are saying is the land ownership pattern should be restructured, and it should reflect the demography of this country. It should reflect the majority of the population should have it. At no point have we suggested that whites and mass should be driven off the land. But we have to face the reality. We have been dispossessed. It is the nature of all countries that have gone through this process that we have to do redress. And this is our fundamental point. And the figure says 5% of land has been transferred since our democracy. And this is our concern. Because then the question is, what options do we have left? If we can't do it through the state machinery, must we go the Zimbabwe route, which the evidence show now that people are using land productively? With regards to the profit motive, my point was that you cannot have a profit motive at the expense of human beings. And at all costs, you make profit. We are the first, and we recognize that you must farm for profit, but not at the expense of labor. It is the same in how the mines were driven, and we are saying the rights of human beings have to be protected. You cannot pursue the profit motives at the expense of human beings and nature. And this is our fundamental point that we are making. It is not to suggest that we shouldn't. There are commercial farmers who fail in their farming, who have collapsed, and I've shown you the figures that is now 35%. Is there a different measure that we must use because if they are white and then we can't say they are incompetent and inefficient? A lot of white commercial farms have also collapsed. And I think we have to rethink this notion of success. And our point is because the way in which agriculture is structured that makes it difficult for new entrants to enter into agriculture. agriculture because it is structured in a way, it is controlled and owned by very few agribusiness and people and makes entry into the agricultural sector very difficult. So we have to have a real look at how we see failures and other things of people because it's not the domain of land reform farmers and black people alone. A lot of white commercial farmers are also collapsing for various reasons. Is it because when we farm we are incompetent and when the white commercial farmer collapses because of economic reasons? I don't think that is the point we are making. And this is just to say that land reform, in our view, it has to happen and it needs to happen before people lose faith in the institutions of power and then say because we are waiting 20, 30 years and nothing happens, what is the alternative? The alternative is a violent and chaotic way of doing land reform, and this is not what we want. But what other mechanism do you have if you pursue? We have cases of people that have applied for 15 years to get a farm from the Department of Rural Reform and Land Reform previously. To date, they have not received anything. So people are going through the processes, but there's also a limit for any human being to say, what now? If we want reconciliation, reconciliation should be based on justice and an equitable sharing of the resources of this country. Otherwise, we are not going anywhere. Thank you.
Very much. I think you have covered the comrade from the right to agrarian and food sovereignty, agrarian reform and food sovereignty.
I
noted that, yeah. I'm not suppressing your right to speak, but I suspect that the SPP did. Comrades from FAO would take the platform.
Thank you, Chairperson. In response to what Honorable Steiner said, it's basically in concurrence with the SPP. All people within the boundaries of this country have a right to stay here. At no stage, Chairperson, have we as FAO, when we had the opportunity to address this forum, have we said that they don't have the right to stay here or that they should be chased anywhere else than beyond the farm. We're saying that it cannot continue that the majority of land or the majority of portions of land in this country should belong to a minority, while the people that work the land, they don't have that type of security that the white people have. And we didn't make reference to white colors. We just said that we were speaking with regards to commercial farmers and rogue farmers. They are good farmers, as we said. In response to the other honorable members that were making mention on subsistence farmers and commercial farmers, I remember the honorable minister at the summit in Somerset, we said, how long can you be a small-scale farmer or subsistence farmer and then it's just being kept there by the big players? That is something that we need, that we can't continue, because there are subsistence farmers that make it into the sphere of being commercial farmers or to be amongst the big boys, as if you want. But it's a area of concern that the infrastructure, the support in those elements should be made available to them. It's not that commercial farmers, we have the tendency to say that big houses means riches, big players means lots of money, small players will fail. We're saying that should not be the case. But once again, I want to highlight that the ownership patterns, in terms of the same word that SPP used, it must change. It cannot remain as it is.
Thank you very much. I think we will not address you, Ms. Stein, directly, because I think SPP did answer your question. But I think we need to... You have a copy of the Freedom Charter, do you? The Freedom Charter specifically opens by saying South Africa belongs to all who live in it, both black and white. Mm. But down the line still says we must share the land and the wealth of the country. So perhaps the real reason too that we are running around in circles on this matter is because there's no visible impact on the people themselves to have a share of the land. And perhaps the twin track approach that the minister has adopted, 1,407 units of land have been handed over to communities and groups, and only 10% of that is working. Now, this is the evidence given to us by the department. Alongside that, the Department of Agriculture is not enthusiastic to join the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in the actual operationalization of those farms, such that we can secure food security, skills development, and the improvement on the infrastructure of the land. One of the attempts we are making as a portfolio committee in working jointly with the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture, Forestry and Sea Fisheries is to try collectively to impress upon our own departments that we are oversighting so that they can see that in fact the real reason why there is no visible impact on the work that is the state has been doing in handing over land to the people is because those pieces of land are not productive. They are not. There's no economic activity taking place on those pieces of land. And that perhaps is what makes many people angry. But alongside that, the commercial farming community, I don't think it has, because remember that the ANC is supposed to be the leader of society through the state. And therefore, those farmers are supposed to be led and guided by that government as well, like all other sectors of society. When there is no viable program between the government and those farmers to make sure that the working conditions of the farm workers, the blue cap, I forgot your name.
Peter Brent. Yeah, but my real surname.
I'm not asking who your real surname. He did mention one most important matter. The anger of the farm workers in the way they are being treated. You know yourself that one of the reasons why South Africa banned farm prisons or prison farms was the way the prisoners were treated on those farms. Not because society does not want prisoners to be gainfully employed during the term in prison to produce food. That's not what society does not want. What society does not want is the ill treatment of those prisoners on those farms. This is exactly the same point that is being made, that we cannot allow a situation in this South Africa, maybe in the old South Africa, but not this one, to get farm workers being ill-treated and farm dwellers to be pushed out of the land. We want coexistence of everybody on the land whilst we are increasing the land parcel in the hands of the vulnerable people and the disadvantaged farm dwellers. That's what we're talking about. And that is why our approach collectively here, together with the stakeholders, is to say, how can we put all our hands on the deck and work together to achieve that? That is why today we must conclude by saying, what is our way forward? What do we need to do? Because fortunately, the SG of the African National Congress has made an offer to AgriSA. I don't know whether you were there in that meeting, where the Mandaje offered that if the farmers and farmers' unions are not able to find each other with the government, he is willing to facilitate that platform through which they will be able to engage. Remember, if that engagement is finalized and a contractual arrangement is done, part of that contractual arrangement is the fair conditions of farm workers on those farms, like industrial workers, like commercial workers. So the commercialization or the casualization of farm worker, which is a seasonal matter for farmers, must also deal with the issue that the Woma Brown was raising. During the time when there is no season for this worker, where do they get food? How do their children get food to go to school? We need to work on solutions together. And that is what we are trying to do, facilitate a way to find solutions. We do not want people to fight against each other. We all belong here. And if we think that the Freedom Charter is the best document that's ever been produced in South Africa to guide our constitution, we should follow it. And it says all of us must work together to produce these results. And here, talking politics is not taking us anywhere. We have to force society to look at the most vulnerable people in society so that we look after them. You said yourself that the way you treat your farm workers reflects your attitude towards the rest of those people of the same ilk. And I'm saying this is our responsibility in this committee representing the nation through the speaker. This portfolio committee's task is to make sure that we do that and make an impact on that. And I think in order for us to be able to summarize one more round, it is not enough to explain that an investor puts money onto a farm or a business must be protected to produce the profit. Because nobody denies that South Africa is a capitalist society. Nobody denies that. And therefore, to entrench the profit motive to anybody investing in his business is already a given. But the corollary to that is that the people who produce that wealth to make the profit must be treated fairly. That's what we're talking about. That's all we're saying. And that is why, in conclusion, would like you to be as emotional as you can on matters of white commercial farmers. Nobody will stop you from doing that. You remember who this philosopher will say, although I disagree with you, but I'm prepared to lay my life in order to defend you the right to disagree with me. Now, I think that the political parties in South Africa are making a huge mistake of putting their political philosophy ahead of the society and the rights of the vulnerable people to be protected. And this is exactly what we need to be addressing as a portfolio committee. And we call upon you all, comrades, in your portfolio committee of agriculture and portfolio committee of public works to join us. Because we are on a campaign to make sure that those who are answerable to this portfolio committee do unto those poor people as they would have unto themselves. Because you guys really, I go back to Mrs. Khader. I'm just wondering, Chief, if it was the mother of one of us, how many of us would have joined 3-4 departments to go and help her and ask the media to come and take a picture of us handing over the support to her? But it's the mother of somebody we have never heard of. Noch all Mrs. Wolf is saying, stay on this farm, farm it until you die, and hand it back to me when you die. If there's a third party that comes to join you, you will have to rearrange your contract with that person. And the third party is the state. I dare say, Chief, that if you don't finish this June with that mother having the ownership of that farm, really, I will recommend to the minister that you don't get your job and you don't get even the one you are in. Because I don't see a reason why we can't help that vulnerable mother. You will hear the story, Chief, on this Mrs. Khadebe in what is that place called? Where? Potchefstroom. It's a terrible story that we had today. And we can't hear that story again, not in the portfolio committee. And we must now agree on the steps going forward. No, Baby Tabana. Isn't it? You made a promise in public that you are going to follow up these matters. You didn't say you want to make an input today. No, no. My information is that you have got an input to make. I never had anybody telling me that, because you remember we were looking for, what is that institution of yours, the facility?
The Land Rights Management Facility.
Yes, we were expecting them, but we were told you will represent them. But we why don't we shelve that input? I know you worked hard to prepare that. I know. And you always get the better, the worst end of the stick. But I think as once we still have this sizable number of people present here, let us agree on the way forward, the steps we need to take the process forward. We need to do that now. The first thing that we need to do, because I'm told that the part of this process today has been recorded, so most of the inputs that we have are recorded. Even the commitments that people have made have been recorded. We will go through the tapes and the video and identify the issues raised here, and then make a draft report which will circulate to all those who participated in the discussion today. In that draft report, we will have specific issues that will identify the roles of all the stakeholders that have participated today and ask them to give us some kind of indication what are the practical steps they will take in pursuing those areas that have been identified. What we want to avoid is that thing, and we will work with our colleagues in the Department of Agriculture. We have no intention of forming structures, Chief. We do not want to form structures. We want people to act where they are in their own institutions to do what is right for the people that we're dealing with here. So we are not going to form a structure. We are going to interact with you so that you do what you need to do where you are. So we do not want people to come to meetings, talk about what they needed to talk about when they met last time. We want people to go and do these things, not do. The next step that we're going to take, we will divide the issues in three categories. There will be short-term issues, which need urgent attention. There will be medium-term issues. The medium-term issues will get into your strategic plan, Chief. I don't know, your strategic plan has already been finalized. Maybe we'll have to go to the operational plan, so that when you do the operational plan, you incorporate the issues that have arisen in the process, in the meeting here and in the conference at the Cape Town and in the Lord Charles Hotel meeting, so that we then walk in step. Then the long-term issues is three things. There are tenure, genuine concerns that have been raised here, land tenure issues, which must be dealt with. And the only way that we can deal with those land tenure questions is if there was a call here that the department must be bold, and in its boldness to lead from the front, so that all the stakeholders here, AgriSA, DAO, and others, should feel led to an amicable solution on land tenure questions. That's number one. Number two, there has to be a demonstration of, in your budget, Chief, tangible steps being taken to protect the vulnerable farm dwellers and farm workers. We have to see that in your... You remember, we have said to you, we do not really feel comfortable with the facility, because the facility is only taking up court cases. You heard the lawyers for human rights telling us that they are working on this thing alone, with the departments not playing ball with them. They are served with the notices for eviction. They don't respond. They are served with, the local government is served with notices. They don't respond. are in the hands of NGOs like Lawyers for Human Rights. And that is why they say they've chosen to be adversarial, because you are not playing the game that you are employed to play. So that's why we're saying the facilities are inadequate. You must create a facility that gives the capacity of the department to lead from the front. The third one, we want to see, remember, we are not the resolution of Kabwe specifically says, when you subdivide the land among those who work it, the abuse must not be transferred from a white person to a black person simply because this happens to be an employer on the farm. So we need to work out a situation where the 1,407 units, you remember we said long-term plan, we want to see that all these issues that are raised here on farm workers and so on, and farm dwellers, will be addressed, because you are saying comprehensive rural development program should be the model of the way practice should be in the rural areas. So we want to see there with them. And we hear that you have already taken some steps in that regard, but we want to see it in practice. Can I, well, I was addressing everybody, but I was not addressing you, although I was talking to you directly. But can I address the comrades from FAO? Wherever we go, we meet workers employed in the rural areas. They say, one, they are not allowed to organize into trade unions. If the organizers come, they will be shot. There must be a way that those people would be legally organized. There must be a way that we can conduct your office so that we can get somebody in each area where we go, so that that person must have access to those workers. If they have to, you see, somebody was saying this morning, if there are no champions of these workers themselves, they will not be their own liberators. To make them their own liberators, they must be organized. In order for them to be organized, they need assistance. They need support. So we need your presence in these areas so that these people are organized, that they are able to fight for their own rights themselves. Remember, we are not like the Holy Spirit. We are not everywhere. So they themselves must deal with their conditions on the farm. And the only way they can do that is if they are organized. Please join us. If, whilst you are saying we must be the champions, we are willing to be those champions, but we must work with you to take the process forward. I want to address the SPP people. This is an unusual way to summarize a meeting, and I'm doing it deliberately because I think that if we leave this stakeholders' consultative meeting without taking home anything, we may create a problem, because then it becomes an event. It's not a process. But I think what we need to do, NGOs must work together rather than in silos, like we are trying to do portfolio committees, forcing the departments to work together collaboratively. Because, you see, the case studies that you guys have represented here, both Lamosa and others, they are indicating that people are acting as in isolated corners, little corner somewhere. There is no network of working together to have a better impact on what we're doing on the land there. So I think one of the things that I wish the NGOs should do, which is what the acting DG had alluded to, is to find a way that NGOs, together with the department, should have a meeting themselves to say the information that you have, the stumbling blocks that you are hitting your head against, both in the local authority level or at the departmental level, must be resolved so that you can do your work in an easier way. Remember, NGOs will never replace government, nor government can reach everywhere where the NGOs go. So the working together can help us to achieve better results and bigger impact on this area that we're working on. So we will help, if you are willing, to facilitate that meeting between the department and the NGOs, and those NGOs that were not here today, so that we can make this impact that we're looking for. I hope that you will take the challenge to take the process forward. The last one goes to AgriSA. Somebody in the house was addressing a member of the opposition and said, comrade, remember yesterday, and I don't know what's her name, comrade who? Comrade so-and-so is mistaken. He's addressing the opposition as comrade. AgriSA is a better organized organization that is everywhere in the country, better than us as a portfolio committee, because we only have 11, 12 people in our committee. Others are visitors. We would like, I know you referred us to your website. We'd like to have access to the information on specific areas. I remember AgriSA did make an offer, two offers, in fact, today. And they were joined by Tau on the second offer. The first offer is that because no research is taking place in the rural areas, in particular among farm workers and farm dwellers, AgriSA would want to be supportive of an independent research. Now, somewhere in the newspapers, there was a report that the government had commissioned some study. I'm not quite sure whether it is specifically on farm dwellers or farm workers, but it was recorded in the radio that there was a study. What I think is hampering all our progress is lack of information or the disjointedness of information. So we invite AgriSA to join this team, because what we want to do is to facilitate that research, which together with Agriculture Portfolio Committee, we would want to talk to any willing university to help us do this kind of research, so that we have access to information that is credible, that is factual, that also will inform how we react to policies or pieces of legislation coming to Parliament. And we invite the department to assist AgriSA and Dow to make sure that that study does produce the kind of results that we're looking for. That's the offer number one you made, AgriSA. AgriSA made the second offer. And I think the comrades from the agrarian, rural, agrarian reform and food sovereignty. I'm right. They made the point about the Section 25 of the Constitution. I was shocked. I think the comrades from FAO would be shocked too. There's a book that we're using in our political committee studies here, which I would recommend people to buy. It's written by Professor Turok, The Evolution of the ANC Economic Policy. And read Section 25 in that book. I'm not going to tell you what it says, but go and read. There's Section 25 in that book. You see, if we don't deal with the issue of explanation about why the Constitution has got that clause and what the Constitution says about dealing with that clause, the Constitution does say it stipulates the actions that we can take to deal with that clause. And AgriSA and Tau said, expropriation has been happening for many years in this country. It's not something new. And they welcome it, although it's a last resort, but it can be implemented, provided it is done within the law. Now, the comrades from SPP were saying, we can do that, and we can achieve it in our lifetime, provided we do it within the law, isn't it? That's what you said, comrades. So Tau and AgriSA said, yes, it can be done, but we must do it within the law. And the law is there, except for the expropriation one. The Constitution does say these are the conditions under which expropriation will be undertaken. Let's take the process forward, Chief, because it will help us to be able to resolve these issues that we're dealing with in an amicable way. something in my summary that needs to be revised before we get out of here. I want somebody to rise now and say it. If not, stay quiet. Nobody is saying I said something wrong. Okay. If there's something that I left out, I should have said. I want somebody to look at his or her notes and see what is it that is missing. Yes. You are right. It's time to close. We said we'll close at 17 hours, but most of the bulk of the time is taken by the part of the house and part of the discussions. But ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, thank you very much for your patience, and I really appreciate the fact that you tolerated me this much. I hope next time when we call you, because we're going to call you again, because the next thing that we're going to do after we come back from elections will be to meet with the communities that have been given land by the state, the representatives of those communities. We want to discuss the issues that are taking place there and how we can take the process forward. Otherwise, for today, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Ramadan. Εγώ όμως ήταν κρέατος κρίνες. Δεν θα το δεύτερο, δεν θα το
δεύτερο. Ωραία. Okay, who's it? Hey, she told me. Ah, she told me. I'm not.